Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us on CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Dan, I could say good morning. I'll do that right now. Nice to see you again.
Good morning.
Yeah, nice drive in. It wasn't a far drive.
What a beautiful morning.
It really is. Yeah, 64 is an official temp.
Officially no parking downtown Minneapolis.
Can you believe it? We all heard of construction, and it's everywhere.
What are they doing? The whole town's tore up.
They're digging up the streets, and then they put concrete in those different particular points. Huh. They dig it up, put concrete in, then they have to let it cure.
So they're doing something underground.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, there is a lot of blockades, a lot of streets closed. It's one of those you can't get there from here.
Yeah, a lot of parking spots missing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it's a little iffy.
Yeah.
So let's hope they finish quite quickly. 651-989-9226. If you have any kind of a vehicle problem and you have to bring it in or want to bring it in to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, you're going to be armed with a little more information than maybe you didn't have. That's what Dan's been doing here on CCO for many, many years, over 20. Call us or send down a text, 81807. We're already getting both of those. But don't wait. If you do want to ask Dan the question, he's going to be here till about 7:45 when Jack Farrell steps in. So call us or text us, and we'll be glad to help you out. This came in earlier, Dan, and you and I were talking about this, and we've talked about this, you have. In fact, my son Tony said, doesn't Dan recommend using, you know, even if you don't use a key for your automobile, you have this fob and the push button and all that. The texter says, my key fob went through the washer and dryer. Is there any way to fix it?
No, it's dried, so that's probably...
Yeah, it's a start.
Well, like your cell phone, I mean, the best thing that you can do is take it apart and lay it out, let it dry, and hope for the best. But no, that water, it does not mix well with water. And that's actually kind of an interesting thing with cars nowadays, as you know, with your new cars.
Yeah.
They apparently don't even have a key. I mean, it's just a fob that you have to have in your pocket, and then you push the button to start the vehicle. And people come in and say, well, what do I do if my battery goes dead, for example, on my key fob? And will the car still start? And actually, it will. The car is designed so that while the key fob itself is a transmitter, it can also work as a receiver if you hold it right up to the button.
Oh, interesting.
So if the battery on your fob is dead, or, for example, if it goes through the wash, which, of course, would kill the battery right away, most cars are designed that the button that you push in the car that will then become the reader of the key fob.
Interesting.
If you hold it right up to it. So that's just something
A way to start the car.
Something you should know. But that's it. That's a good point, because if the key fob fails, which, you know, you don't think of a mechanical key as ever failing, but if the electronic key fob fails, you're stuck.
You're stuck doing that. In fact, yesterday we were opening the trunk. Tony and I were putting something in the trunk of my car, and the key, the keyhole, the slot, is not, you know, like other cars always had it right there in the middle of the trunk. This was underneath the lip.
Yeah,
and obviously it hasn't been used probably ever because there was like grease around it and road grime or whatever.
Well, you know, you don't know that you even have a key in your key fob, but most cars also do have a mechanical key.
You push a button and slide it out.
And you should, we've talked about this before, you should do that once in a while. Take the key out of your fob, put it in all the door locks, and there's probably only one in the driver's door and one in the trunk. A lid.
But
try using it. Yeah, turn it both directions and get it in there and work it. And that's good, you know, good idea to move that once in a while so that if ever you do need it, it will move.
Yeah, all right. That's one. We're going to get to the phones here, but I don't want to lose track of more of these texters because it suddenly gets off the screen. 95 Caddy SLS stumbles at take. I imagine a takeoff, then okay at higher speed.
Yeah, that, you know, that's very common on those. Actually, they
is it?
It's probably a misfire that they're feeling. I actually had a General Motors product myself, and you know, at the time, I kept feeling this, and I actually thought it was a transmission problem that I was starting to have. But as it turned out, you know, I put some equipment on it and figured it out, and it was actually a misfire that I was feeling. And misfires are most apparent when you're accelerating. That's when you have a load on the vehicle, and that's when the misfire will show up. So that's why you feel it then. And at high speeds, there's not much demand on the secondary ignition, so it holds up and it'll do just fine.
Oh, okay.
But it basically needs a good old-fashioned tune-up.
Tune-up.
It needs spark plugs and wires and perhaps a little bit of coil work. But yeah, that's a misfire. I'll take care of it.
Let's go back to the phones. Chris in Buffalo was first up here. Go ahead, Chris. Dan's listening.
Hi, good morning. I've got a 2010 Dodge Grand Caravan, and it sounds like the lifters, a lot of clicking, and I've been told the lifters are going out on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be pretty expensive to fix. I don't know if I want to spend that much money on a car that's maybe only book value of $5,000-$6,000.
Mm-hmm.
Is this lifters? Is that a big job? Is it something important to do? Can I drive it with the clicking? They did add an additive at the oil change that kind of quieted it down a little bit, but it still seems to be clicking a little louder today.
Yeah, you know, the lifters are hydraulic, and probably one or more of them have failed, and I think it probably is worth fixing and makes sense to fix it because, it you know, it's not good. Where the clicking is happening, there's a gap, and if you're hearing the clicking, that means that there's some wear that's happening. So if you just ignore it, I'm afraid it's going to just get worse. And if the vehicle is worth saving, then it's probably worth investing in. And you know, you hate to put $1,000 into a $5,000 vehicle, but on the other hand, $1,000 towards a different vehicle does not go very far.
So for sure,
when you kind of put it into perspective, that's makes our business pretty easy when comparing whether people want to pay the price for a repair or not, because usually it makes pretty good sense.
Yeah.
It's a better deal than going out and trying to find a used car or a new car.
Especially if you like the vehicle.
Yeah, if you like the vehicle and it works. And I find as I get older, I don't really like getting a new car. I kind of like the old one where I know where all the buttons are and all the cup holders and everything. So.
You got a nice hoist there, too, to work on.
Yeah, I can keep it fixed up. Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's see. Who is next? John is calling from Bloomington, I believe. Go ahead, John. Dan's listening.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I have a 2016 Toyota, and it has the digital readout for the air conditioning, so you dial in a number and then depending on what number you put in, the fan will blow harder or lower, and it will increase the cold air or whatever. My question is, if you drove around with a higher number, like at 76 degrees, is the air compressor or condenser working less harder than if you had it set at 68 degrees?
It is working less, but there's not much good reason to do that. It's designed for that. You know, you're not going to save the life of the compressor by using it less. So, and in fact, my opinion on pretty much on cars altogether is use them. That, you know, a car that sits and is not used, or a component that sits and is not used, is not good for a car. It needs to be used. So, you know, feel free to use it. Probably the one good thing about the compressor not running is you get a little better gas mileage,
yeah,
for sure. But as far as using it or not, go ahead and use it. That's what it's made for. And it's an air conditioning compressor is kind of like a small engine, and it has oil in there to lubricate all of the stuff on the inside of the air conditioning system, and that needs to be circulated. So it needs to be used.
Yeah. All right. Dan, we have to take a quick break. We have callers. We have texters. We'll get back to them in just a moment. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, located exactly where?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. Tell you what, if you want to get some attention,
yes,
hire a drone. This week we're redoing our website a little bit, and one of the shots they wanted to have was a picture of our facility from a drone. And so the camera was out there flying around. And of course, the whole world gets curious when they see something like that going on around the neighborhood.
So that's going to be on your website?
Yeah, it's going to be on our website. I didn't look. I don't know if it is there yet, but I'm excited to see it.
All right.
Anyway, and our website is lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or you can also get a hold of us by giving us a call this morning at 651-228-1316.
Very good. Let's go back to the phones, then we'll grab some text messages. Jerry in Maple Grove has been waiting. Thank you, Jerry.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I've got a 2013 Ford F-150. It was wet out when I parked it in the garage, and it was parked without moving for 27 days. When I started it up, put it in reverse, it did not move. It seemed to be bound up. I checked for block wheels, nothing. I stepped hard on the gas, and it seemed to break loose with a loud pop. Were the brakes simply rusted tight, or did I break something?
You're exactly right. That's what happened. Is there's metallic in the brake pads, and, of course, the brake rotors are metal. And I've seen that actually many times on cars. People have had cars towed in for that reason, that they wouldn't go because the pads were rusted to the rotors. Now, bear in mind that's not good for the pads or the rotors, and you might feel some pulsation from those rotors for a little while or forever. Because of that happening, you know, there's certainly going to be a mark left there where they were rusted together. But that's exactly what happened. You finally gave it enough power for it to break loose, and it did. And the repair for that rust spot is to just use the brakes. That's the best thing that you can do. They'll rub against each other and clean the rust off. But that's what happened. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. Texter says they have a 2011 Camry. AC operates fine for 1 hour, then stops working. Checked, is full of refrigerant with no codes. After driving about an hour, the AC starts working again. Continues to work. Could it be the AC relay?
It could be. The AC relay is part of it, but there's a whole bunch of other controls that control pressures. And if the pressures get high or low for some reason, either accurately or falsely, it'll disable the air conditioning system to protect itself. Another thing that we see that will cause the air conditioning to come and go like that is if the air conditioning condenser, which is up by the radiator, if that condenser gets clogged with debris, it won't cool properly. And that condenser needs to keep cool or the pressures get too high. And if the pressures get high, the air conditioning system will shut off.
So okay.
If you brought it in and had somebody check on that, it would be a pretty easy check. If you want to just clean that air conditioning condenser. All these words are so similar, and I get it's like my grandkids. I have to go through three kids before I get to the right name. But anyway. If you clean that condenser, it can make a difference. And actually, that's one of the, when the air conditioning is like if in your driveway, if it runs for a while and then stops, just take the garden hose and cool off that condenser with the garden hose. Mm. And if it's a problem, that'll cool it off and turn it back on.
All right. Hang on, Dan. Quick break. We'll be back with more phone calls and text messages on CCO's Car Care Show. Good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. And coming up in a few minutes, Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. In the meantime, Dan, let's help out some folks on the line and on the text screen. Bill and Henriette is first up here. Bill, good morning. What is your question for Dan?
Hi, good morning, Denny. Dan, got a 2014 Focus, and about a week ago, the county roads near my home they were doing some work on it, and I high-centered it. I was actually able to get it unstuck, but it ripped off the cowling that protects the undercarriage and the front. And now, when I accelerate, I'm getting a growling sound in the front end that I never had before this happened.
Yeah, I wonder if something got pushed up into the drive axle or something like that, or even part of that cowling is pushed up there rubbing. Hopefully it's something simple like that. The good news is you're not seeing a bunch of fluids run out of it.
Yeah, right.
Because it could be that like that. But unfortunately, you're going to be bummed out when you go to get a price on replacing all that plastic stuff underneath the car.
Really?
It gets pretty pricey. And the clips and all the hardware that goes with it, we have to do it quite often in the wintertime when people run into a snowbank and tear it off. But at that time, when they have it up on the hoist, they'll look around and find something. Most oftentimes, it's something very simple and no big deal. Like I say, something just got pushed up in there and is rubbing while you're driving. But you should get that checked. Good news is it's fluid's not running out of it, but you should get it checked and see what got bent and is in the way and rubbing now.
Very good, Bill. Thank you. Todd is calling from Champlin. Then we'll get some text messages. Hi, Todd. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you? On the something I don't see very often anymore over the years is the antifreeze interval flushing, if it's still a practice. I know in the heavy equipment line they used to do it quite often and check the DCA levels and et cetera, but I'm just curious on, like the automotive manufacturer's recommendations for that, and if it's necessary to go ahead and flush the antifreeze to, say, like 80 or 100,000. And then part two of the question is on the transmission as well. This particular vehicle I have is sealed transmission. They don't recommend it at all according to the manufacturer's specifications in the book. I'm just wondering if it's a practical purpose to do both. I mean, my old philosophy was at 100,000, 80,000 on most of the vehicles, 80 to 100, and it was fine. But that's it. I just was wondering what the verdict is on that.
I'm going to stick with my old answer. Do what the manufacturer recommends because they built it, they designed it, they engineered it, and they are smarter than I am, or at least a few of them. Together, they're smarter than me. Not individually, but I would do what they recommend. If they don't recommend changing it, it's for a reason. It's not necessary. Sometimes changing it can do more harm than good, depending upon who does it and how it's done and what fluid gets put back in. And so, like with coolant antifreeze, if any kind of work gets done, if the timing belt gets replaced, if the water pump gets replaced, I mean, it gets done quite frequently on a car anyway. And again, very important to put back the correct fluid when you do that. But I'm going to stick with the answer that I think you should do what the manufacturer recommends. And I also, just in our industry, we get, all sorts of information. And I have never come up with a reason to do it more frequently than the manufacturer recommends. It's not like like everyone says, well, you should do this because if you don't do it, it hurts the longevity of the vehicle. I have not found any information that supports that. Until I do, I would probably stick with what the manufacturer recommends.
All right, Dan, we have a couple of minutes to go. Thank you, Todd. We've got some texters. Let's help out. 2011 Buick Enclave, 200,000 miles on it. As amazing as it seems, texter says, I've never had a tune-up on the car. I do notice it does not run as smoothly as it used to. For a car this age and such high mileage, would it pay to get a complete tune-up?
I think
there again.
Yes, it should have been done long ago, and as the manufacturer would recommend, and I guess it probably still should be done, although I'm hesitant to give that advice because on an old car, problems can happen. If the spark plugs have never been removed in 200,000 miles, you need to be careful taking them out. So first of all, warn whoever it is that does the repair for you that this is the case and ask them to be careful so that they don't create a problem that didn't exist before. But at any rate, no, those parts are well worn out and should be replaced.
All right. 2014 Buick Verano. All tires have the correct tire PSI when checked. The digital display inside the car shows one tire with two PSI lower. Could the problem be with the tire sensor?
Yes, it is with the problem sensor, okay. And I probably wouldn't worry about it. I would, if you're using a good digital gauge and you're sure that it's exactly, you know, that the four tires are exactly the same, and one of them is reading different, then it is what it is. It's just not reading accurately. And if it's not causing the light to turn on, and I'm sure it won't, then, you know, the warning light,
yeah,
then I think that I would just drive it that
Don't
way.
Worry
It'll
about
be fine.
It. Just about out of time, Dan. This is what we'll do. I'll print out these text messages. And like we've done in the past, let's open the show next week. I think we only had about two or three or so we didn't get to.
Sounds good.
Let's do that. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch with now, the tip of the day is to take the key out of your fob container and try the doors in the trunk.
You know, the tip starting with, you should figure out how to get the key out of your fob,
because first things first,
that's oftentimes a process itself. Get the key out of your fob and then put it in all the doors and trunks and try it.
And how do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call.
All right.
651-228-1316.
Come back 1 week from today.
Yes, sir. I'll be here.
Thank you, Dan.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.